Hello. If you're able to, please close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And a deep breath out. Relax your shoulders. Unclench your jaw. Take another deep breath in. And another breath out. You can open your eyes now. My name is David, and welcome to Mindful Moments. How are you today? I hope you're well. Welcome to episode 40. I can't believe it's come around so quickly. If you've been here before or listened before, you will know that every 10 episodes we do a Q&A. So today is a Q&A episode. I have received questions from my community on Instagram, and I have 10 of them to answer today. Thank you so much for your continued listenership up until this point. 40 episodes has come around very quickly, and it's a lot of work, these episodes, but it's work that I love, I truly love and enjoy, and it is a true privilege to continue sharing this with you. So thank you so much. Without further ado, question one. How do you deal with criticism? That's a very good question, because I feel one of the things I'm proudest of in my life is becoming better at dealing with criticism. I used to be very, very sensitive to it. Criticism to me used to feel a lot like rejection, and I used to really struggle with rejection. Criticism, when it has the right intentions behind it, elevates you to another level, which is something that I always try to remember. Being criticized is something that's going to make me better. But one of the things I truly hold on to and always evaluate is the source and intention of the criticism as I see it. If one listens to every single opinion that one receives, it's not really very good for you. Especially if, like me, you do something creative. When you do creative things, it's interesting. You have to believe in yourself enough to continue doing that thing and override your own internal doubts. But equally, you have to be humble enough to take criticism and suggestions so that you can improve at what you're doing. In fact, generally, I think that counts in life. You have to believe in yourself enough to override your own doubts, but you have to be humble enough to receive criticism so you can be as good as you can be. So I have people whose opinions I value, and I know I value. So when they criticize me, I know their intentions are pure. I know it's purely from a sense of trying to improve what I'm doing. And then there are some sources from which I don't internalize criticism and I don't listen to criticism. Not so much that I ignore it, because you can always learn something from everybody, but just it's important to know which opinions you value most. And when you are criticized, to evaluate the intention behind it and the source of the criticism and determine whether or not that's something you should internalize and act on, or something you should just hear, be thankful for, or acknowledge and move on from. Yeah. Question two, what do you do to recharge away from doing work? Very nice question, because that's something that, as I've said a few times, is something I'm really working on this year. I have things in my life that bring me nothing but enjoyment. And when I say that, I struggle to do things that I feel aren't productive sometimes. And especially, again, doing content creation full time, the line between what's content, what's my own life, what I enjoy, what I can turn into something, what I can turn into a series, what I can turn into a poem, it blurs a lot. And so it's very important for me to have certain things in my life that don't bring anything productive. They're not for the sake of being productive. They're not things that are impressive or I can show off about or anything like that. I do them simply because they're enjoyable to me. And that is the only reason, and a very valid reason to do them. There are TV shows I watch, for example, which aren't going to ever receive any critical acclaim. They're not necessarily something that I can say added to my life in this way, or I learned this from it. It's just, it entertains me right now. So I'm going to do it. My favorite thing to do to recharge, actually, is just sit on the sofa and watch TV with Tiffany. That's my number one thing. I could do that every day. That's always leaves me feeling restored and recharged. Just, yeah. Sit on the sofa with Tiff, talking to her if I need to, but just generally doing nothing, having something on the TV, something to eat. That's just my favorite thing. Yeah. Question 3. How do you deal with feeling like you're disappointing your family? There's a lot of weight to that question. Especially, as you know, being from Ghana and being from an African family, the values are very much that you honor your father and mother, you respect your elders, you respect your family. And it can be very hard to draw the line between respecting your family and honoring your own needs and desires and boundaries. It can be very hard when something you want for yourself and you know for yourself is the right thing clashes with what someone in your family would want for you. It's very hard to pursue your own path and not mean to cause offense, not mean to cause disappointment, and not want to hurt somebody, and doing so just because what you want is different to what somebody in your family wants. It's very difficult to feel like you've fallen short of expectations of you. It's very hard to, well, having expectations on you by virtue of your existence is a very difficult thing in the first place. And that is something that tends to happen a lot with family. I feel, especially actually, when parents love you very much and invest a lot in you, a lot of the time, a lot is expected back. And it's very tough to feel like you've fallen short of those expectations. I think what we owe the people that love us and take care of us is our very best efforts. And I feel that when our very best efforts aren't seen as what they are, they aren't seen as our best efforts, they're seen as disrespect or defiance or disappointment. I think it's very important for us to be able to have the patience to explain things from our point of view, but equally to be able to forgive ourselves sometimes when our true intentions aren't seen. And that means that people are disappointed, but disappointing them wasn't our intention. I think, yeah, it's almost easiest to disappoint people closest to you, like your family, because those are the people who kind of expect most of you. At the same time, it's impossible to go through life and not disappoint anybody. It's impossible to at some point not fall short of an expectation, to not go down a path someone expects you to go down. And it's important for us, I think, to remain true to ourselves and recognize that what we owe is love and respect. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're never allowed to do something that's disappointing to somebody who cares about us. As long as our intentions are pure, as long as we did our best, as long as we did our best to honor and love the people who cared about us and people who invested in us most, there's nothing wrong with sometimes disappointing people, because we can't always make everybody happy, least of all the people who expect most of us, which is, yeah, easier said than done, but a lesson that I think is important for us to learn. Question 4. How do you stop feeling like an incomplete project when implementing change in your life? What a great question that is, because that's really something that I think about regularly as I try to improve and change. And a lot of these episodes, you'll be hearing me talk about something I'm trying to do better in, or something that I'm trying to improve, or an area that I'm trying to improve in. And at what point do you say, actually, I'm okay with how I am? At what point do you say, I actually don't need to improve this thing, without feeling like you're being prideful or feeling like you think too much of yourself? I think it is important because of this, to recognize growth that we've made. That's why I think checkpoints are important. Recognizing achievements, recognizing growth is very important, because as important as it is, obviously, to want to change and grow and be better, it's equally important to know when we've done those things. And it's important to be able to sit at any point and find contentment in being certain ways that you are. So, for example, at the moment, I know that I am a very disciplined and consistent person. That's something I've worked on very hard. And sometimes that wanes slightly. I'm not as disciplined as I'm used to being. I'm not as consistent as I'm used to being. But it's important for me to still acknowledge to myself, no, I am a disciplined person. I need to tweak this area slightly. I need to work a little bit on this, but overall, I am this. I am a disciplined person. I am a consistent person. And I am happy with how I am. I can afford to work a little bit harder and change this thing slightly, because I'm actually already happy with what it is. I just need to tweak it slightly. It's in the language, I feel. When we want to improve and want to be better, it's in the language. I don't want to improve because I'm nowhere near good enough. I'm not good enough. It's because I know I can be this thing. I know I have been this thing. Or I know I want to be this thing. This is what I'm happy with now. This is how I'd be a little bit happier. But I am already happy with how I am. That's how I'm trying to think of things. Question 5. What lesson have you gained on the travels you've been on this year? Really, really nice question. I have enjoyed traveling a lot in the last couple of years. I didn't travel a lot when I was younger. So doing it in my adult life has been really, really wonderful for me. And I think the biggest lesson that I get from traveling is just how much we have to offer each other, how much different cultures have to offer each other. When we were in Japan, I went to Japan with Tiffany and two of our friends. And when we were in Japan, we were on the train and talking about how much we love the Japanese transport system. And one of my friends said, what do you think people in Japan would love about coming to London? And that's what it did kind of occur to me, that to me, going to Japan was so exciting because it was completely new to me. There was so much to learn there. There was so much culture I hadn't seen before, so many things I hadn't seen before, so much to understand. But equally, someone who grew up in Japan would come to the UK where I've grown up, and there'll be loads for them to learn here too. And then obviously I went to Ghana where I'm from and learned a lot of things about my own culture where I'm from. And yeah, there's just so much that we have to offer each other as human beings. There's so much that we have to learn from each other as people, from cultures, places. And traveling is one of the ways that you can obviously get a firsthand account of those things. You can get a firsthand experience of those things, which is why I feel very blessed to be able to do it now. So yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that we all have something to offer somebody else. And there's always something we don't know about another people, another culture, about other people and other cultures. And it's important for us to open our ears and listen and really try and experience those things so we can understand each other better. Question 6. How do you start off your day so that you're so positive? A lot of the questions I got were around positivity and me being a positive person, which is very nice. This is a good time for a good reminder that there is an episode, I can't remember what number episode it is, but one of the episodes of this podcast is about my attempts to be more positive in my life and what I do to do that. But what do I do first thing in the morning? One is I drink a glass of warm water or two glasses of warm water. That's really good for you. Drink a glass of warm water or two glasses of warm water when you first wake up. And two is that I don't look at my phone for at least 15 minutes. At least 15 minutes. If I know I'm going to wake up or if I know I'm going to have to start work early, I'll wake up earlier so I have time without my phone. I really just think going straight into your phone and all the information that's on there and all the things that are on there that fill our brains, it really helps me to not get into that first thing, to actually filter through my own thoughts first and then enter the world. So yeah, warm water and not looking at my phone for at least 50 minutes. Those are my things. Question 7. What is something you've done in the last week that felt like a hug to your inner child? In the last week, I have been two things, actually. The first thing I've been doing is doing crosswords. Again, when we went to Japan, on the plane to Japan, my friend had crosswords on her phone and we were doing crosswords. And that reminded me how much I love word games generally. I love words. I think it's very apparent through everything that I do that I really love words. And I love word games, crosswords, word searches, all of that stuff. And I hadn't done a crossword in years. I was like, wow, I really love crosswords. So recently I've been trying to do one crossword a day and it's been a lot of fun. And then as well as that, I've been trying to actively write one poem a day. I love poetry. I love writing poetry. A lot of my content now involves poetry. And it's something that I do because I genuinely love it from my heart. I love it so much. And I think doing anything that you love is in service to your inner child generally. Doing anything that you love for the sake of doing it rather than for any greater purpose is of service to your inner child. So I'd say those two things, playing word games, my crosswords, and writing poetry. Yeah. Question 8. How do you gain momentum again after a burnout? Very timely question, because that's exactly how I felt at the beginning of this year. And the answer is slowly, very slowly. When you burn out, as in you burn out, your brain and body can't do anything else, and you have to completely, you're forced to stop. The last thing that you want is ever to get back to that place. Equally, to get back to a point where you feel functional again and you feel present and you feel like you've actually got your energy back, shouldn't be rushed. The worst has happened when you burn out. You've bottomed out. You've crashed. And a bad crash means injury. Not necessarily physical injury, but mentally, just the exhaustion of being burned out. And so it takes kindness and gradually building yourself up in a way that means that that won't happen to you again. And that takes as long as it takes. It's very easy to be impatient with oneself at a time like that. Somebody who has to work very hard on patience, felt very impatient having to build myself back up after burning out at the end of last year. So I knew that I had to do things very, very gradually. And I'd say that even now, I mean, towards the end of April, I'm just getting close to finally feeling 100% again. So slowly, very slowly, but in a way that means that you hopefully won't encounter the same circumstances again. Question 9. Quel est ton proverbe préféré? What is your favorite maxim? Statistics don't matter if you are the one. Now, that goes both ways. You know, the statistics that are like 1 in 10 people or 1 in 100 people, or this only happens to 1 in a million people. On the one hand, it reminds me to be cautious and careful sometimes. Sometimes you can think you're above certain things. Certain things will never happen to me. It happens to 1 in 100 people. That will never be me. One thing I've learned in life is that saying it could never be me is not the right way to go, because life will show you absolutely can and will be you. So sometimes it's good to be cautious. If you are the 1 in 100, it doesn't matter that it only happens to 1 in 100 people. You are the one. It will hurt. On the other hand, the amazing things that people say, it's not likely that that will happen to you. It's not likely you'll make it in this area. It's not likely that you'll be able to do this. Only 1 in 100 people get this. Only 1 in 1,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in a million. That one person, to that one person, that statistic doesn't matter, because you are the one. And you could be the one. Anything you want to do, anything you could possibly reach for, anything you could think of, even if the odds aren't necessarily in your favor, if you are the one, it doesn't matter. So if I have a dream, if I have something I want to pursue, if I have something that I believe I can do, and the odds aren't necessarily favorable, the fact it only happens to one in however many people doesn't matter and won't matter if I manage to be the one. And I could, because any of us can do anything. So statistics only matter. Statistics don't matter if you're the one. And number 10, which is a really nice question. What keeps you going with a weekly podcast? What is the innate motivation? I love everything about doing this podcast. Even if sometimes I'm tired, I never necessarily don't feel like doing this. I am so grateful and happy that I started this. I was really nervous before I did, but just every week, week on week on week, I love it more and more. The innate motivation for me to do this is that I think of how I feel when I connect with anything creative, a song, a book, a podcast, a piece of content. And I think of how deeply, profoundly affected I am by the things that I love. And I am one person. And I think of the depth of feeling I have when I enjoy something and how intense that is and how incredibly huge that is. Sometimes on a scale I can't even imagine. I can't believe something could affect me so positively and can make me so happy. And I am one person. So for me, whenever you create something, if one person can feel like that about the thing you make, you've done an incredible thing. And I am in the enormously privileged position of knowing that there are several people who feel that way about this. I get the kindest comments, messages, the loveliest pieces of encouragement, even in real life sometimes, from people who I run into, who tell me how much they enjoy this. And that is all the motivation anybody could ever need. Something that is just me talking about how I feel about things and sharing my thoughts connects with people enough that they tell me they enjoy it. As someone who creates things, there really is no greater sense of affirmation, really. And it is an enormous privilege. As I say, I think of how moved I am when I enjoy something. And I think, wow, people think that about something that I'm doing. And I feel connected. It makes me feel connected to the people who enjoy it. And connection is what life is about. So yeah, I need no more motivation than that. And that is the end of today's episode. I think there's no nicer note to end on than that. And there's a reason that every week I say thank you for being here, thank you for listening. That's because I really do mean it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Whatever you're doing this week, I hope you have a wonderful one.